Those of you that have known me for the past 3+ years that I've been working at this church know this already, but for the benefit of those that are, you know, newer, I have a confession to make, right? I'm pretty sure that my stupidometer is broken, or at least is severely damaged. You see, the stupidometer is that thing that God puts in you that allows you to identify a stupid idea and stop it before it becomes a stupid action, right? And I'm telling you that mine, I think, is broken or at least severely damaged, okay? And let me tell you a story. When I was a child, I was in elementary school. Me and my brother, actually, he lives down the street. You can pray for him. So he cut up the street. And a group of friends decided to go explore a mountain that was near the school, all right, during lunch hour. And then you would think that the stupidometer would have kicked in and say, no, that's a bad idea. You're a bunch of kids. You're going to get lost. No, it did not. So we ate lunch quickly, and we made our way to the mountain at the end of the street. And it was a huge mountain, at least for me. And we saw that there were rain clouds coming, but we ignored all of those signals, yes, and we went into the mountain to explore. To make the long story short, it started pouring when we were inside of the mountain. So we were all scared and all nervous, so we lost our way, okay? So we, instead of an hour, 40 minutes that we had, were supposed to be, you know, we spent like an hour and a half lost in the mountain. And I remember, like, if it was today, you know, mud everywhere. My brother was walking. He put his foot, like, I don't know, it was moving sand or something like that. He pulled it out, no shoe. And he freaked out, and he put the foot back in, and he started looking for it. He could not find it. So he walked the rest of the way without a shoe. We finally got out of there. I thought I was going to die. Oh, we were all crying. And luckily for us, you know, we were all dirty. My brother was missing a shoe. But luckily for us, my aunt lived, like, right next to the school entrance. So we stopped by there, and she gave us some clothes from school clothes, you know. Her daughter used to study there, so we were safe. That's what I thought. When I got into my class, before the end of the day, my homeschool teacher calls me to the room and tells me that she knows what we have done. I know what you did last summer. No, a minute ago, an hour ago. And I was so scared. I don't know, I was maybe fourth grade, fifth grade. I was so scared. And I swear that I heard her say, after scolding me, "I want to see your mom tomorrow." Oh my goodness, I was so nervous. When I told my brother, he almost killed me. He said, "Don't, please don't." And I told him, "She already know. She's gonna call my mom." So we waited until mom got back from work, and we told her. We were so nervous, I was. And you know, she again, you know, let us have it. And the next day, at the end of the day, mom comes in, talks to the teacher, you know, everything's fine. And then the teachers call me and tell me, "Why you told your mom to come?" And I say, "That's what you told me to do." And she said, "No, I told you if it happens again, I will need to." And I was like, "Oh, come on. We could have gotten away with it." Kind of, right? And you can only imagine what my brother, you know, told me after that. "You stupid little," you know, anyways. And I wish I can tell you that it has gotten better with age, but it has not. All right, I can tell you that a couple of years ago, my daughter, you all know Nyla, had a party at our house for her class, and there was a trampoline there. And I look at the trampoline, and I say, "I can do that." You see, stupidometer not working. I walk to that trampoline, and I see the kids jumping, and I say, "I can do that." So I go in, start jumping. It's not bad. And then I see the kids jumping, you know, flipping forward and backwards, and I can do that. And I flip forward, and everything was fine. The kids were, you know, encouraging me. Yeah, this old dude can jump and flip. And then I decided to jump and flip backwards. And I kid you not, the second my feet left the trampoline, I knew I was not going to make it. And it was like slow motion, and I fell head first. Thanks God that's, you know, that is a trampoline. It's not solid ground, because I'll be dead by now. Stupid, crazy ideas. And I know, you know, that I'm not the only one that have had one of those. I know there's some of you right here tonight have your stupidometer is faulty. There you go. Show of hands. There you go. Please tell me those after the service, because I do like stupid, crazy ideas. And that's probably why I like the story that I want to share with you guys today. But before I do that, I don't know if it happens to you, but sometimes when I'm done with one of my antics, I think to myself, why in the world did I do that? Why did I risk my health? I risk my reputation? Why did I risk even my life sometimes for what? You know, sometimes things are not worth it, but we do these stupid, crazy things. Like the friends we're going to read in chapter 2 in the book of Mark. If you want to look for it in the Pew Bible right in front of you, the red book that you have there. Book of Mark, chapter 2. It's page 36. All right? So we're going to start on the first five verses, okay? So this is a story of four friends, and he says this. When he returned, that's Jesus, to Capernaum, after some days it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them, and then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above them, and after having dug through it, they laid the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So I love this story because it shows that these friends were ready to do whatever it takes to bring his friend to Jesus. And the question for us today, the challenge that I have for you today is, are you willing to bring your friends, your family, your children even, to do whatever it takes to bring them to Jesus? All right? Because I don't want you to miss it, right? These four friends were taking several risks. Okay? So they got to this house, four men carrying another one on a mat, and it's completely packed. They were not able to get in to see Jesus while Jesus was preaching, and they decided, crazy, stupid idea, let's go to the roof, and let's dig a hole in the roof. Think about that. If you work in construction or you know someone that does, you know that back then it was as dangerous and stupid and crazy as it is today. Many things could go wrong if you are carrying heavy stuff up to a roof. But they decided that it was worth it to take their friends to Jesus. Because this roof, we think about this roof and we think it was like, I don't know, like palm branches laying on top of each other, but it was not. It was about a foot and a half or 2 feet deep, and it has a mixture of different things. And then on top of it, it was hardened clay, about 2 inches of hardened clay to protect the house from the elements, the heat and all of that. So I can only imagine that these people needed some sort of tool to make the hole big enough to lower a man through it. So I imagine they had something like this, right? Or the equivalent of the first century, right? So just think about it. You're in a place like this, but packed, trying to hear Jesus preaching, and then out of nowhere you start hearing. It's hard to hear, right? And it was not a couple of minutes, guys. I have a friend that worked as a roofer for 8 years, and he tells me that for four men with the right tools, for them to be able to make a hole big enough to lower another grown man laying down on a mat, it must have taken about 20 to 40 minutes of this. All right? And you can imagine Jesus trying to, you know, preach, and he's like, what is going on? This is something that me and other preachers need to know, because we lose it when a baby cries or a phone rings, right? And I really don't know if Jesus stopped preaching. I don't know if he waited for them, but I can assure you that everyone was looking at these dudes when they were doing that, right? So They were willing to get cut, bruised. Man, they were willing to risk the people that were inside because, hey, the roof could have easily fallen, collapsed, exactly. But they decided that the risk was worth it. Not only that, they were willing to risk their financial resources. Because think about it, guys. A roof back then wasn't cheap as, I mean, it's not cheap now. It wasn't cheap back then. But I can only imagine them saying, today is the day that Jesus is back finally, and we're going to take our friend to him no matter what, whatever it takes. And then they arrive and say, oh, I have a crazy, stupid idea. We can make a hole through the roof. Hey, how much that's going to cost, you know? And they decided that it was worth it. I can only imagine poor Mary after that say, Jesus, you see, this is why I don't like you to bring your friends. Who's going to repair my roof now? Right? Well, Jesus was a grown man, so probably he was taking care of that. But they were willing to risk their financial resources. So the question for us, guys, is how do we do that? How do we risk something for our friends? An idea. What if you very intentionally invite that one person that you don't know Christ to your house to have lunch? And listen attentively. Find out how you can help them, even if it involves money, and do it. Because I think it's worth it if it's a gateway to bring them to Jesus. But not only financial resources, they were willing to risk public humiliation. Have you ever gone to a place, let's say church, Sunday morning, you arrive late, the place is packed, there's no place to sit, only in the front row. And then you get in, you know, smiling, hey, everybody, hey, how you? And the pastor looking at you like, you're late again. Everybody's looking at you. It's kind of humiliating, right? But now multiply that by 1,000. Because these guys were, you know, the center of attention. Everybody was looking at them like, dude, we came here to listen to Jesus and you're ruining it. Not only that, they bungee jump a dude on a mat from the roof after 20 minutes of this, you know? But they decided it was worth it. What if we would take our Bibles? What if we would take that book that you're studying and your Bible, I don't know, to work, to your next family meeting? And let people see you and pray about it. Pray that God will use this simple act of on your behalf to tickle their curiosity and ask you, would you be willing to face humiliation? It reminds me of Romans, right? When he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. But not only that, guys, they were willing to risk financial resources, they were willing to risk public humiliation, and they were willing to risk their own status and reputation. They knew that there were some religious leaders among the crowd. They knew that because of this act of faith, they might have been kicked out of the synagogue. They knew that the synagogue was the center of everything. And if you were kicked out of there, that was a very big deal. But they decided it was worth it. They did whatever it takes. They did whatever it took to take their friends to Jesus. And it was worth it. Because this man was not only healed physically, he was healed spiritually. It is worth it to do whatever it takes because Jesus did whatever was necessary to get to us. Philippians 2, 5-7 says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to exploit it, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. In a very real way, Jesus took his axe and he started digging a hole in the floor of heaven. He said, I'm going to go down there. And he lowered himself not to be healed, but to heal us. He lowered himself, leaving behind everything that he had. He is the epicenter. He's the center of every worship in heaven. Angels, seraphims, saints are all day crying with their loudest voice, holy, 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 King of kings, Lord of lords, God of God, decided to leave everything behind, everything that he had. He owns the galaxy. He owns everything. And he said, you know what? It is worth it. Jesus risked his body. Mark 15:24 starts with four simple words, and they crucified him. But prior to the crucifixion, Jesus experienced his friends abandon him. He sweat drops of blood because of all the stress that he was facing, because he knew what was coming. And they arrested him. They mocked him. They spat on him. They beat him up and tied him to a pole. And they took a nine-tailed whip that on its tips has bones, had pieces of clay, and every other sharp object to do as much damage as possible. And they whip him once and again and again in a torture called half dead, because half the man that is tied to the pole dies on the pole, but not Jesus. Not Jesus, because he had a mission to accomplish. But he was so beat up, he was so weakened, he was so damaged. His body was just muscles and blood and sinew, and he could not carry his cross all the way to Calvary. So a man called Simon helped him up and helped him carry the cross all the way to Calvary. But once they made it to the top of the mount, they nailed him to that cross. King of kings, Lord of lords, nailed to a cross by three nails, and the love that he has for you and for me. And it was worth it, because he did not stay in the grave. On the third day, he rose. He rose again. But Jesus risked his closest relationship. At that moment, guys, in a way that I cannot fully understand, there was a tremor in the Trinity. In a way that I cannot understand, the Father saw his Son absorbing the sin of the world and turned his back on him. The Spirit that empowered Jesus throughout all of his life abandoned him. Something that has never happened and will never happen again in the history of the universe happened on that moment. And with his last breath, Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? And I told the kids the other day, it's like you have a pot of dirty water. It stinks. And then you take a sponge and you absorb all of that water. The sponge will smell like the water. It will stink. That's what Jesus did. The smelly, dirty water is your sin and my sin. And Jesus absorbed all of it so the Father could not bear the stench of our sin. And for the first time ever, the Trinity was divided. Amen. And it was worth it. And it was worth it. Because then Jesus uttered three words that forever changed the course of humanity. He said, it is finished. The mission that you gave me, Father, I have accomplished by the power of your Spirit. It is finished. And he gave up his spirit. But like I said, guys, it is worth it. Because on the third day, Jesus killed death. He defeated that one last enemy that had a hold on us. And he rose again, and he's now sitting on the right hand of the Father, filled with glory, back to the place where he deserved to be. Glory to his name. But we have a mission, guys. The word is dying. The word is dying at a pace that is baffling. Every second, someone dies in the world. And one of those seconds is going to be that one person that you're thinking of right now, that you know, do not know, that Jesus loved them so much that he gave up himself for them. So I'm asking you today, will you grab your ask and you say, it's going to be worth it? And you might be at it, guys, for a while. You might be hitting that. Praying for it, talking to them, loving them. And you might get tired, but once you bring that friend to Jesus, you will see that it is worth it. I have many stories, but I'm going to tell you about my brother-in-law, the youngest of them. He was what you could call, you know, the black sheep of the family. Became a father early, had a lot of issues. But me and my wife and other family members praying for him, talking to him, loving on him. Years went by. My wife would cry for him. I would console her. We would pray for him, talk to him, serve him, love him. Till one day, we were able to break that roof and we were able to bring him to Jesus. And now he's a changed man. He's a changed man. And you know what? It was worth it. Pastor Bob told us the other day that the only way that you will keep your love for Jesus alive is if you share him with others. If you fall in love with evangelism, it will fizzle out. But if you fall in love with Jesus, you will always evangelize. You will always evangelize. So are we willing to risk, to do whatever it takes to bring people to the foot of that cross? Are we willing individually? Are we willing to do that as a church? That's the challenge we have in front of us. And maybe you think, I don't know what to say. That's okay. We can help you with that. Maybe you say, I'm not a good example. My testimony is not right. That's okay. What you are is a beggar showing another beggar where the bread is. You might both be as dirty, but you are both as hungry. And you know where the bread of life is. All right. Simple story, guys. The gospel. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again, so everyone who would trust in him alone will have eternal life. And that life starts now and lasts forever. We have to tell us this story. You have to tell your story with God and pray that he will do the rest. Amen? Let's pray, guys. Father, thank you so much for this morning, God. Thank you so much for the people that are gathered here, God. And thank you for your word. Thank you because we know it doesn't come back void. Father, help us and make us people that are zealous for you. Make us people on fire by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes and break our hearts with the things that breaks your heart, God. And let us reach out to those that are in need. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will complete this prayer because you're the only one that can do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.